built the altar, Lord, to send the flame. I'll be the sacrifice unto your name. Come, holy fire, consume me now. That's been our prayer. Lord, in your presence, I make this vow. Nothing but you, Lord, do I desire. Your glory only and one desire. Wonderful. Thanks, Dave. And I believe God is holding back until, like that thing David wrote this morning, Lord, I can't live another day without the fire of God. You need the fire of God to pray. You need the fire of God to see visions. You need the fire of God to recognize there's no help for us. I don't want to cry as I've done so long. Like David in Psalm 80, O thou that dwellest between the cherubims, Lord, don't stay there. Come down here. We need God here. Does it matter if it breaks your heart today? You're going to have millenniums in eternity. There'll be no sorrow there. You can't patch up your prayer life when you get to the judgment seat. You can't sacrifice when you get to the judgment seat. You can't weep when you get to the judgment seat. It's all between here and there. This period we're in now is a dressing room for eternity. That's all it is.
You see, when these songs were written, people were desperate for a move of God because society had come so bad and so far from God. People were lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. They were people who were far away from God. And a move of God had been a distant thing of the past. Churches had begun to talk about what God used to do. Churches had begun to talk about how God used to save back in the old days. And there was a generation that raised up and said, let me tell you something. If he's still God, he could still do it. They said there's nothing wrong with God. He still desires to pour his spirit up on hungry people. The problem is we're not hungry anymore. And a generation rose up, Steve, and said, I'm hungry for something from God. And it doesn't have to come through my church denomination in order for me to accept it. It doesn't necessarily have to come the way I want it to come. I just want it to come. Oh God, a burning, cleansing flame, send a fire. Your blood-bought gift today we claim. Send the fire today. Look down and see this waiting host, and send the promise. Holy Ghost, we need another Pentecost. Send the fire today. Oh, send the fire today. Jesus. God, these young people standing on this stage, Lord Jesus, I ask you right now, Lord, to make this verse apply to them, Lord. To make our weak hearts strong and brave, set a fire to live a dying world to save. Lord, save.
Singing a hymn together. O thou who camest from above, the pure celestial fire to impart, kindle a flame of sacred love on the mean altar of my heart. There let it for thy glory burn with inextinguishable blaze, and trembling to its source return with constant prayer and fervent praise. Jesus, confirm my heart's desire to work and speak and think for thee. Still let me guard the holy fire. He had a new baptism of fire. And if you don't keep fire going, it goes out. He says, still let me guard the holy fire and still stir up thy gift in me. Ready for all thy glorious will, thine acts of faith and love repeat, till death thine endless mercy seal and make the sacrifice complete. Then he says, this awesome thing enlarge, inflame, and fill my heart with boundless charity divine. So shall I all my strength exert and love them with a zeal like thine and turn them into a pardoning God. You see, he's not asking for a theological definition. He says, I want a fire. Listen, if our God is a consuming fire, and he is, if he takes up residence in you, you'll burn till you die. God won't die in you. And all he's asking you this morning is to let the walls down, let the fire in. Isn't that awesome? That a man with such a colossal intellect and background, he said day by day, enlarge and fill my heart with boundless charity divine. I can't live in coldness anymore. I can't live in blindness anymore. I can't be indifferent to a dying world. Every preacher who has lost the fire, you should be on your face down here. You used to burn, but you got so busy with organizing. The fire has gone out. Come on. I believe God's going to breathe on us this morning. I believe you're going from this place. I believe you're going to have to say, I'm in the valley of decision.
Take me past the outer courts. Through the holy place, past the brazen altar, Lord, I want to see your face. Pass me by the crowds of people and the priests who sing their praise. I hunger and thirst for your righteousness, and it's only found one place. So take me in to the Holy of Holies. Take me in by the blood of the Lamb. Take me in to the Holy of Holies. Take the cross.
Take me past the outer courts, through the holy place, past the brazen altar. Lord, I want to see your face. Pass me by the crowds of people and the priests who sing their praise. I hunger and thirst for your righteousness, but it's only found one place. So take me in to the holy, holy. Take me in by the blood of the Lamb. So take me in to the holy, holy. Take the cold, cleanse my lips. Take me into the holy of holies. Take me in by the blood of the Lamb. Take me into the holy of holies. Take the coal, cleanse my lips. Here I am. Holy of Holies. Take us there. Take us there, Lord. Take us there, Jesus. Take us there, oh Lord. Take me past the outer courts and to the holy place, past the brazen altar. Lord, I want to see your face. Pass me by the crowds of people and the priests that sing their praise. I hunger and thirst for your righteousness, and it's only found one.
When God stepped down, suddenly men and women perish, were gripped by the fear of God. Who shall ascend the hill of God? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul to vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing of the Lord.
Some of the great soul winners who've ever lived have prayed, give me souls or I die. What does it mean? It means you don't want to live unless you can see people saved.
Lord, move on your church. Break our hearts with the things that break your heart. Shatter our indifference. Strip away our complacency.
Lord, we receive your burden for a dying world. We receive your burden, O God, for this generation of young people.
Give us America, Father. Give us our schools. Give us our schools or we die.
What it's going to take, friends. People in agony. People whose hearts are bursting. I've never read a book about childbirth called How Much Fun It Is to Have a Baby. Jesus. There's pain, there's travail, but that's what it takes to produce life. That's what it takes to produce life. It's all right, just let the Holy Spirit move. Just let the Holy Spirit move. Jesus. Souls, 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 Jesus, revive, oh, whatever it takes, oh God, birth it in this generation, birth it in this generation. Oh, God hears the cries, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears. The Lord Jesus himself in Hebrews 5:7 prayed with loud crying and tears. Oh!
call them in, my God. From the north, from the south, Lord. From the east, from the west. Come, my beloved. Come, my beloved.
Revival means. Have you a conception of what it means to see God working? The God of miracles, sovereign, supernatural, moving in the midst of men and hundreds swept into the kingdom. Oh, that we might see it. That we might see it.
Could make it through the end. I can just see your face. Moses stood on the mountain, waiting for you to pass by. You put your hand over his face, so in your presence he wouldn't die. All of Israel saw the glory, and it shines down the age. Now you call me to boldly seek your face. Show me your face, Lord. Show and gird up my legs that I might stand in this holy place. Show me your face, Lord, your power and grace. I could make it through the end, I can just see your face. David knew there was something more than the ark of your presence. And in a manger a baby was born, among kings and peasants. and it shines down through the age. And now you call us to boldly seek your face. Show me your face, Lord. Show me your face. Oh, then gird up my legs that I might stand in this holy place. Show me. Just see your face. Yes, we'll make it through the end. If we can just see your face.
The moment that that happened in the bar, a power was let loose in Barbas that shook the whole of Lewis. God stepped out. The Holy Spirit began to move among the people. God seemed to be everywhere. What was that? Revival! Revival! Not an evangelist, not a special effort, not anything at all organized on the basis of human endeavor, but an awareness of God that gripped the whole community.
And as part of his research, he went to the Hebrides to actually research the history of the Hebridean revival. And he finished up, amazingly, he booked in at a guest house, which was run by an elderly couple. And the guy who was the father of the house was actually one of the fathers of the revival. And so he found himself, without trying, sitting right at the feet of someone who could tell him a lot of information. And this guy said to him, you know, with tears in his eyes, he said, there's six of us who were like the fathers of the revival who are still alive. He said, we meet together occasionally when our wives are in bed. He said, we sit there and we talk about those days. And he said, we can't stop crying. And he said this. He said, the reason that the Hebridean revival failed, because the leadership didn't know what to do with it. They didn't know how to structure. They didn't know how to prepare a wineskin for what God was doing. And it faltered and it failed. And this old man got hold of my friend, who's probably about 30 years of age, grabbed him by the collar, looked at him in his eyes, his piercing eyes looking at him, and he said, son, when you get it, whatever you do, don't let go of it.
brethren are sealed and begin to talk about this strange consciousness of God that had gripped the community. Oh, he knew the secret. Oh, my dear people, listen, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him.
He's one of the leaders of the revival in Argentina. The secret of the amazing outpouring of the Spirit that's happened in his church has been nothing other than his personal walk with God.
I found myself praying, Lord, if you are not going to bring another revival, take me home. I don't want to live anymore. And then I tried to rebuke my soul because I have three little kids, I have my wife, and the ministry was not doing so bad. Why should I pray this way? And then again, the next day, I found myself praying the same thing. And I realized the Holy Spirit was putting a burden in my heart to see revival. John Knox used to say, Lord, give me Scotland or I'll die. And I pray that impartation from the Holy Spirit will come to this room right now. That you would desire revival more than your own life. That you would desire to see this nation, entire nation, shaken under the power of God. More than to be alive, you would desire that.
An awakening cry for a land in darkest night. And it calls you now to shed your past and move into the light. Let your heart be free as you search for you and seek for what is right.
before revival broke out, friend, in this church. There was times I came down to this church and I would lay on the front row. Something deep inside of me was calling out to the deep of God. And I said, Lord, there's got to be more. I would walk these floors and I would cry out loud. I knew nobody was around and I knew nobody could hear. And I lift my voice sometime till I would be hoarse and I'd say, God, there's more. There's got to be more. God, I'm dying inside. And I'd lay there sometime in the still quiet in a fetal position on that front row. And then I would hear the Lord say, keep going after me, son. You'll find me.
This thing we're crying out for is not fun and games. If you, you know, I want to tell you, it's going to be more demanding of us than anything we have ever, ever seen. Let's get ready. Let's be the kind of leaders who don't find the thing overtakes us, but we have a godly stance. We're prepared, we're ready for when the bridegroom comes in that way. We're not then going out to look for the oil. We've got it.
Of May 1738, about a quarter to nine, John Wesley says in his diary, my heart was strangely warm. That was the first move of God in his life. He didn't stop there. He read the Word of God. He said, there's something more than a warm heart. I don't want a warm heart. I want a heart on fire. And so he preached the entire sanctification. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly.
Because John Wesley came over here from England and he was thrown out of the church. But the reason that he stuck with it and he was so faithful and he came over here and he brought the fire to us.
John Wesley brought such tremendous revival to the nation. And I believe God wants to restore again this powerful at one time denomination that the enemy has just strictly just put through the mill. And yet there are men of God that are still hungry, and God is wanting to touch you again. He wanted to recommission the Methodist Church with the power of God, with the fire of God, with the zeal of God that Wesley knew, that Wesley understood, and a righteousness, a message of holiness. And wants to, again, just fill you again with the Spirit of God, the Spirit of holiness, Spirit of fire, and a Spirit of evangelism. That's what marked the Methodist Church, was evangelism, taking the gospel out into the streets, out into the highways where nobody else would take it. And I believe God is wanting to restore that tonight. You're the remnant of that, and I believe this is going to just spread all across the nation.
an interest in my Savior's blood. Died he for me, who caused his pain for me, him to death pursued. Amazing love, how can sin and nature's night, thine eyes diffused a quickening ray. I woke, my prison was flaming with light, my chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose with hope and followed thee, my chains fell. All in him is mine, alive in him, my living head, and clothed in righteousness divine. Bold I approach the eternal. That one verse again. I didn't grow up singing these songs, and so all of you good Presbyterians there tonight are going, man, he's slaughtering that Wesley. All you good Methodists are going, man, that's our heritage song, and I've never heard it quite done that way. Well, I never quite heard it, so I just did it my way. But you see, when I sing these songs, and you know, we're like 800 and some services going and counting and whatever. And, you know, I used to worry about people who went and traveled in ministry and they were out all the time just losing the edge and losing the conviction. But when I start singing these songs, I jump in the middle of the lyrics and I realize this is me I'm singing about. And I look around this youth choir and I see kids up here who have testified and said, we were going to commit suicide. We were already laying the plans. Kids up here whose lives were over at the age of 17, 18. Many people in this revival, I've watched too many be saved. I just can't lose my passion. I'm sorry. We've got too many people in the church now that's lost their passion. They need to get on their face before God and regain their passion. Long my imprisoned spirit laid, I was fast bound in sin and nature's night, Lord, but thine eye diffused a quickening ray.
I will never ever be the same person ever, ever, ever again. I have the best plan ever. If I was to die tonight, I know I would go to heaven and I would be with him. I would be with him.
It's amazing. It's a passion. The rock and roll tapes, the drugs, the things. I don't want that mess no more.
Christian and an ex-gang member. This is a thank you.
I wrote out the perfect plan to murder both of my parents. But that same woman that I wanted to kill spent every night of her life on her knees praying for me.
I never would have thought that I would be so in love with Jesus before I got saved. I have no desire of sinning whatsoever because I love God and I want to serve Him forever. My life was partying. I didn't care for anybody except for my life. And this revival has shown me that God is the way, the truth, and the life. And no matter what anybody else says, I'm going after God. Nobody else. Thank you, Jesus.
My Savior's blood died He for me, who caused His pain for me. Him to death pursued. Amazing love.
You don't know how awesome it feels to wake up every morning and know that Jesus is right there with you. It's so awesome.
Spirit laid, I was fast bound in sin and nature's night, Lord, but thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I awoke
at
the dungeon.
I have this boiling inside of me that
flamed with light.
Won't go away.
My chains fell off.
All I can think and all I can say is I'm sick of working for the devil. I'm going to work.
Feel that voice in my head said, "You're nothing. You're just an Indian. You're just a stoner. You're just a punk. You know. But you know what? I'm an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony."
Amazing.
and on Valentine's Day, I gave my heart to Jesus.
I want to thank him for pouring out his spirit on our generation.
Jesus is the lover of my soul. And tonight, as I'm baptized, I want to bury anything that would keep me from him. Jesus, I love you.
I can see your glory. Oh Lord, I see your glory. There is power in your glory. Power in your glory. There is power in your glory. Power in your glory. So Lord, save your glory. And I can see your glory. I can see your glory, Jesus. I can see your glory. I can see your glory. Oh Lord, I see your glory. There's healing in your glory. Healing in your glory. There is healing in your glory. Healing in your glory. Healing in your glory. Healing in your glory. There is healing in your glory. Healing in your glory. There's deliverance in your glory. There's deliverance in your glory. There's deliverance in your glory. So Lord, send your glory. There is freedom in your glory. Freedom in your glory. There is freedom in your glory. Freedom in your glory. So Lord, it's all in your glory. Oh, it's all in your glory. It's all in your glory. It's all in your glory. So Lord, send your glory. Bible says, or it's actually said, that the glory of the Lord is His manifest presence. And in His presence there's freedom. And there's healing tonight.
There is healing in Your glory. Healing in Your glory. There is healing in Your glory.
Enter into His presence. Come on, church.
There's healing in Your glory. So
know how familiar you are with the revival in Argentina. There's such an outbreak of God there that there's some churches that have to have church 23 hours a day. Everybody talks about the revival in Argentina, but I'm going to tell you how it was born. It's an old man named Edward Miller. He went to Argentina in 1950. Said they were gripped with such intercession that they didn't know if they were going to live or die. But they didn't care as long as he was there. This went on day after day after day. Meals were forgotten. Sleep was just a necessity. And they were so gripped. They repented, he said, until there was nothing left to repent, and still they felt to repent. And he coined a phrase, he called it vicarious repentance. Where you're not just repenting for yourself, but you literally get under the load of sin that your city is carrying, and you begin to repent for the city. That's what Jesus told the women to do on the road to Calvary. He said, weep for yourselves.
For Lord, we have turned away from You. We've failed You, Lord. We've disobeyed Your word. We've disobeyed Your commands. And Father, we throw ourselves on Your mercy. And we say, have mercy on us, O Lord. Because we failed You in things we've done and things we've left undone, Jesus. Because we want to please You. We want You to take all of us, Lord.
Have mercy on me, my unfailing love. Have mercy on me, Redeemer. Please open my eyes, my soul now set free. Lord, I surrender.
Restore us.
follow your way. Lord, would you have mercy on America? For her sins are great and they're many, O Lord. For she has turned her back on you. Oh, spare her, Lord, the punishment that I know you have in store. And have mercy, O Lord. Have mercy on the Lord. On the children that have been abandoned, Lord. Have mercy, Lord, on those that are fatherless. Oh, turn your eyes of favor upon them, O Lord. God, heal their broken hearts. God, restore their spirits that have been broken. Bring back, Lord, their families. Bring back their families, O Lord. O Lord, have mercy on the single moms. Have mercy, Lord. Oh God, they're feeling helpless and alone. Be with them right now, Jesus. Oh, show your compassion, Lord. Show your compassion, Lord. Show your compassion, Lord. Show your love, Jesus. On those that are in the hospitals, Lord Jesus, dying with AIDS, we pray, Lord, that your mercy would be stretched to them, Lord. Let your hand of mercy and healing, Lord, come into their room. That those that have felt alone and abused all of their lives, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you would raise them up as soldiers of yours. Oh, God. God, bring the healing. Bring the healing, Jesus. Bring the healing, Jesus. Bring the healing, Jesus. Because you're the restorer. God, you're the healer. God, you're the redeemer. You're the one who takes something that's worth nothing and breathes life into it and makes it worthwhile. Bring it, Lord. Oh, bring it, Lord. We want to do to follow your way. To follow your way. We will follow you to follow your way. Jesus, to follow. Follow you, Jesus. To follow. We'll follow you, Lord. We'll follow you, Lord. We'll follow you, Lord. We'll follow where you lead us, Lord.
Something services we've been going here, and a lot of people looked on and thought, man, if we could get something like that going, wouldn't that be wonderful? Well, you know what, I don't know if it would or not. I tell you what, I think it'd be wonderful. I think it'd be wonderful if the power of God would fall on our nation. I think it'd be wonderful if people at the 7-Eleven had to get up off the floor because they were trembling under the glory of God.
Bible says that the glory of the Lord is going to cover the face of the earth. But it's got to start somewhere. And what we're after is revival in the streets. I don't know if that lady's here that had that picture. Are you here? Yes. Can I have that for a second? See, they showed me this morning, and I tried to act real calm. But this picture's been bothering me all day. You can't see it, but it's a picture of kids. I don't know if they're out of this church or what church, but coming back from Brownsville. God fell in the van because they were broken. And they had such a move of the Spirit that they literally just pulled over in the parking lot of a gas station. And they're laying all over the ground. People don't dare touch it. They don't dare bother that. The gas station guy said he wasn't going to bother the big man. He didn't know any other way to refer to God. Policeman said it's all right. People that drove up to get gas get nervous. I'm telling you, there can be such a visitation until the man in the gas station says, what do I need to do? Until the policeman that drives up says, what do I need to do? Your school. I don't know if you understand how passionate I am. I long for the day that some high school teenager will bow their head in the lunchroom somewhere and pray over their food, and God show up so strong that the presence of God walks into that lunchroom and people are converted and convicted and fall left and right, not out of blessing but out of repentance. That's what I'm after.
One of these days, we're going to get a call from a high school. They're going to say, we got 2,750 students all over the ground.
We've got to get to that point. We have been racing to false finish lines. It's not time to start coasting yet. There's still some distance ahead of us. Let's press in toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And I don't know of anybody that has. Nobody has had what's available. Nobody has had what I think is coming. And it's time that somebody just laid down the gauntlet and said, God, I'm after you.
Over the last few